Praise the Lord. God bless you all. It's about a reception than I usually get. They must have told you to make an effort. You know, we're blessed people to be able to praise and worship God. You know that?
Can you
hear me now?
Yes,
so you're ready. Joseph, can you hear me? Can you see me? We're blessed people here just to be able to praise and worship the Lord. I shared in church the other day. There's only certain people, there's only certain select few who can praise and worship God. You know that? It's the ones who are in heaven and the ones who belong to Him on earth. We're a very blessed people to be able to praise and worship God. And I always thought of it this way. But I don't know what it's like in heaven. I don't know. I don't know what their scene is in heaven. For everyone who's gone before us, all our brothers and sisters who have gone to be with the Lord before us, praising and worshipping and being with Jesus. And it's like, for a time, we're joining in with them. Whatever's going on up there, we're joining in with them. There before Jesus, praising and worshipping for who He is and where He is. And we get to come into that time, that presence as well. Jesus said in the last days, people worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, I've just meant to mention, you know, how can you be? How comes there's only a select few who can praise and worship Jesus? Because the Bible says this, that all have sinned, every person is a sinner. We all suffer a condition called sin, which separates us from God, which therefore brings a barrier between us and God. That we can't come into His presence. We can't worship Him. We can't praise Him. We don't belong to Him. The Bible says our sin leaves us eternally condemned, eternally cut off from God. But God in His love and His mercy sent Jesus Christ to bleed and die upon Calvary's cross. He took our punishment, your sin, my sin, upon Himself. He was placed in a tomb. He rose again on the third day. He ascended into heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. And right now, He wants to be your Lord and your Saviour. If you just put your faith and trust in Him, turn from your sin and put your faith and trust in Him, you'll be born again of His Spirit. And you'll be one of them servants like you who can praise and worship Him rather than be condemned to hell for eternity. Heaven can be your home. And you can be a child of God. I pray to God that's everyone here tonight. If you're not, you need to. You need to be born again, amen? Would you pray for me? Pray for yourselves, pray for me. We're in 1 Corinthians 2. Well, I hope we are, because that's what I've got ready. If you ain't there, that's where we are tonight anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Pray for yourselves and pray for me, please. Father God. Lord, we thank you, God, Lord, that we just come into your word. We're blessed people to have your word. Lord God, I pray not just for myself, but for my brothers and my sisters here, God, that you speak to us, or we learn something, Lord, not just what we want people to know, what your word says. Help us be more like you. Let's not the people we are. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake, amen. I just want to, obviously, I don't know if they done last week. When was it? Last week, did they do last week? Okay. We started off obviously chapter 2. I'm going from verse 6. I'm going to talk about 1 to 5 because it just gives us a bit of a run up. The Apostle Paul speaks of in verse 1 to 5, which you got this last week. I'm not preaching last week's message. I couldn't do it any justice. He's better preaching than me anyway. But Paul talks of when he came to him, he didn't come with, the word he uses is eloquence or human wisdom. He didn't come to him with fine words, fancy words, or man's wisdom. As we know, the Church of Corinth, Greece, heavily with a Greek culture, and at the time, even now, there's heavy on their philosophy, and their philosophers, and learning, and understanding, and wisdom, and these people like Plato and Confucius and all these people, they're so-called wise men, men of worldly wisdom, and by getting to know their philosophies, you'll be more wiser. And he said, I didn't come like that. I didn't come like that. He said, when he came with a simple message, which was Christ, and him crucified. that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose again for you. He said, I come to show nothing else except Christ and him crucified. A simple message. That's not to say Paul never had ability, or Paul never had the eloquence or the wisdom. Paul definitely did. You read Philippians 3, it talks about being a Hebrew of the Hebrews, regarding the law, a Pharisee. It's in Acts 22, it talks about he studied under Gamaliel. If you, even now, to the Jews, speak of Gamaliel, he was a serious dude. And that's who Paul studied at the feet of. Paul had the eloquence, Paul had the knowledge, Paul had the education, Paul had the wisdom. Paul could have wiped the floor with all of them when it comes to that. But he said, I laid all that aside, and I've just come Christ and him crucified. He says, where's it at here? And my speech and my preaching wasn't with persuasive words of human wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? He had it all, and he laid that aside, and it's all to do with the Spirit of God, isn't it? So now we're in verse 6, and it starts off, however, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they did had have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Let's just stop there for a second. So Paul said to them, when I come to you, I didn't come with wisdom, I didn't come with eloquence of speech. But then he starts off here, but there is a time for that. But there is wisdom. We do speak wisdom. We do speak with eloquence of speech, if you like. And he says it's to the mature. To the mature. Now, there's a couple of different schools of thought on this, and I'm not here to push either one. I will tell you my view. A lot of people say, who is the mature? Is it talking about mature Christians? Or is it talking about those who are mature, or educated, knowledgeable, unsaved people? I personally think it's to both. That God gives us a knowledge and a wisdom to speak to both. Whether they're your brothers and sisters in the Lord, or the unsaved. I've got a verse for that. I've saved it on my phone. Where are we at here? If you turn in Acts chapter 6, Stephen. Now Stephen, a man in chapter verse 8. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene, Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Sicilia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. So these are not clearly not his brothers in the Lord. This is their opposition, and they come to argue with him. These are not saved people. These are not mature Christians. But these are definitely mature educated people. But look at verse 10 says, but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. So the eloquence of speech and the wisdom came when it came to debate with unsaved people. So there is a wisdom that comes from God. And it's at times when it's needed. It talks about, it's not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who come into nothing. But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery. I don't want to do this any injustice, but I don't want to touch too much on this. Once again, there's two different schools of thought on this. When it says the rulers of this age, he uses the same language in Ephesians 6 about the armour of God and things like that, the rulers of this age. Is it talking about demonic forces ruling, or is it talking about literally governments who are ruling? Because the Rome wouldn't have had Jesus put to death if they had actually known him as God in human flesh. Or would the demonic forces, Satan's demonic forces, have jeered it so Jesus could be crucified, played their part, if you like, even though he's all of God, land slain for the foundation of the world. Because Jesus died upon the cross. You know, when people sing that song, it's not true. Satan didn't rejoice when Jesus died upon the cross. And people say, oh, you Satan thought you had the victory. No, I believe far to the opposite. Satan tried to stop Jesus going to the cross, didn't he? He said, all these things I give you, just worship me now. You haven't got to go there. Because what happened when Jesus died upon the cross is the greatest victory ever won for us. He paid for your sin, for my sin. The sin of mankind was placed upon himself. When he was placed in a tomb, rose again on the third day, said that God has accepted payment for sin for anyone who would come to him. So I'll let you figure that one out, battle that one out, wherever you just want to, whether you think it's talking about governments or if it's talking about demonic forces. But it's a wisdom that comes from God. It's not a wisdom, it says here, it's not a wisdom, where have we gone here, I'm sorry, of this age, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before ages for our glory. I don't understand how that works, I don't know. But the Bible talks about that Jesus, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, God knew. You know, there's a lot of cults, the Jehovah's Witnesses for one, who believe that God isn't omniscient, he isn't all-knowing, he's not omnipotent, he's not all-powerful. That he can go JW.org, no, WhatsApp some of the men in front of your WhatsApp groups. It's on the JW.org, it's on the Watchtower website, that Jehovah God didn't know that Adam was going to sin. Did you know that? They believe that God didn't know he was going to sin. He's like, oh, what have they done? Sorry, Michael the Archangel, you've got to go and die now. That's what they teach. That God didn't know it was going to happen. That God was somehow taken by a surprise. Sin come. No, but the Bible says God had this ordained before the foundation of the world. You know, people ever say to you, why does God allow this? Why does God allow that? Why is there terrible things on the telly? Why is there suffering? And I ask them questions, and it's not evil to ask them questions. In fact, any loving person, logical thinking person would ask them things. Why is there terrible things going on in the world? Why does God allow it? How about this? Before God even made it, he knew he was going to have to die for it. You know, before God created the heavens and the earth, he knew he was going to have to bleed and die upon a cross for you personally. Before he made it, before he put the universe and everything that's in it, before he said, let there be light, before he made the days, before he made man out of the dust of the ground, breathed in him, made him a living being, he knew that he was going to one day have to die upon a cross, become a man, live our life, die our death. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? We'll never get a red train. I don't care how great a Bible scholar you are, how much you claim to love God, how much you spend in his word, we'll never get a red train, man. But God knew. That God knew. You know, people say, what's God ever done for me? You don't know the half of what he's done for us. We can never thank him. We can never repay him for what he's done for us. And you know, the thing is, he doesn't want us to repay him. He wants us to live for him. He's got his things ordained before, God ordained before the ages for our glory. He's done all that for us. He wants to save us, take our sin, take our shame, take our punishment, which is hell for eternity. And then he's got things for us to do, and he wants to reward us forever for doing them. We can never get our heads around that. What a God we serve. You know, sometimes we need to take heart of that and understand who we belong to and actually what we've got in the Lord. You know, people have a nice holiday book, they don't even use a book anywhere, all these books. You look forward to it, don't you? You talk about it, don't you? And as the clock counts down, you talk more and more about it because you're going. You're excited to go. You're going to tell everyone you're going. I've got eternity with God. I've got eternity with the Lord. And the reason I've got eternity with God is because I was completely and utterly lost, but he became a man and died for me. The Bible talks about it in the book of Hebrews. I don't want to get sidetracked from this thing. The Bible talks about it in the book of Hebrews. That seeing the joy set before him, he chose to endure the cross. Because he knew he'd get me. I don't want me. God wanted me. God wanted you. We'll never get rid of that. You know, if you take heart of them things, you'll go through problems, you'll go through things in this world. Jesus said it. In this world, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations, you're going to have days you don't feel lift and you're off the pillar, you're going to have weeks and months and years sometimes when things ain't going right. But take heart, I've overcome the world, I've saved you out of it, and one day you're going to be with me forever. In 100 years' time, none of it will matter, I promise. You know, people say, I'm going to stand, when I get before God, I'm going to ask you about this, and I'm going to ask you about that. No, you're not. You're not. I promise you. I don't claim to know the mind of God. I don't claim to know your mind. But I promise you, from the bottom of my heart, when you get to heaven, you stand before him, you're not going to go, you're not even going to think about the questions you have. You're just going to know that you're there. And there'd be no more heartache, no more tears, no more sorrow. I look forward to that day, don't you? Until we do, you know what we do? We live to serve Him, see other people, one for the Lord. Glory to God. So he talks about a wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. There's an earthly wisdom, there's a godly wisdom. And you know this? There's a huge need for us to have the wisdom of God in our lives. Not just for ministers, not just for pastors, teachers, preachers, Christians, you. You belong to the Lord. There's a big need to have the wisdom of God in your life. The world's getting darker and darker and darker every day. Isn't it? The world's a sick place, isn't it? There's some beautiful things in the world, beautiful things going on, but the world's a sick place, isn't it? Go to central London, you can't walk around with your family, can you? I don't think someone's to be a fly on the wall in your children's classroom would be scary, wouldn't it? The world's a sick place, and it's getting worse and worse and worse till the day the Lord comes to take us home. We need to have God's wisdom. We need to make a difference on the world in which we live. You know, I will never want to pick on people's prayers, but I said it in the prayer meeting on Friday night. So can we pray for those? The Bible says we should pray for our governments, so we may live a godly life. So we can do that. The Bible tells us this in the book of Timothy. Paul writes it to Timothy. Can we pray that the government will make things good again, and pray that the council would do this and the schools would do this? That's not happening. It's getting worse. We can pray for it, but what, you know what we need to do? Pray that God uses us to make a difference on them things. Pray the school protects their children. School ain't going to protect your children. The rulers of this age, the prince of this world, ain't going to protect your children. They want your children. We're to make a difference on our children. We need the wisdom of God for that. We're to teach our children. Whether you keep your children in school or out of school, it's down to you. But we're to teach our children. We're to teach our children what's right. And please God, when we teach them what's right, they know what's wrong, and they reject what's wrong, and they cling to what's right. We need to do them things. We need to... All the sick things that's going on the streets, we're to go out and tell them about the Lord and win them for the Lord. It's down to us. We need the wisdom of God. What's the one thing God asked Solomon? Solomon asked God, give me wisdom, give me discernment, give me wisdom. Don't know what's right and what's wrong. In fact, it's not between what's right and what's wrong, it's between what's right and what's almost right. A wisdom that comes from God isn't just say right and wrong, because we know what's right and wrong, don't we? No, chore is bad. People say, you know what, I'm not going to chore over today. Yeah, should I go and chore over today? Yeah. No, we know that's wrong, don't we? If I said to Becky, I'm going to go to the bank, Becky, I'm going to go rob a bank this morning, babe. I'll be back by lunch. Yeah, you're furious, yeah? We know what's wrong. But wisdom, God's wisdom, is to know between what's right and what's almost right. Some things appear almost right, don't they? How do we get the wisdom that comes from God? How do we get it? If there's a wisdom that comes from God, how do we get it? I don't want to talk worldly, but I'm talking the same sort of upbringing, really. Even though I wasn't brought up in a godly home. I wasn't brought up in a godly home. I was brought up like most other gypsy boys, to go out and earn a living, do whatever it takes to get it. But I was taught by one thing, even my mum and dad not saved. It had been a walk with the wise. Keep away from cranks. Didn't realise I was the crank people to keep away from. But I'm sure they had good intentions. Walk with the wise. You remember, if you walk with the wise, you'll learn something worth knowing. Mixed with sensible people, you'll learn something, and you'll be hearing things that's worth knowing. Mixed with a crank, you understand? We're brought up with that way, don't we? Keep away from lobs, keep away from cranks, keep away from misfits. And a chance, please God, you won't become one yourself. It may actually backfire on my mum and dad, but I'm sure they... This can't be learned. God's wisdom can't be learned. God's wisdom can't be taught. God's wisdom can't be bought. God's wisdom can't be copied. You can get learning. And this isn't to teach, I'm not preaching against learning and not to learn God's word. In fact, we should know God's word. We are to learn God's word. We are to be fed on God's word. We live by God's word. God's word's for living. But I know people who have got a ton of knowledge of the Bible and zero wisdom. Something like it yourself. You can have a ton of this, Thank God for it, but no wisdom how to use it. What did I say? Knowledge is knowing what to say. Wisdom is knowing when to say it. Knowledge is knowing what to say. Wisdom is knowing when to say it. This leads us on to one of the most misunderstood and misquoted scriptures in the full Bible. In verse 9, it's one of the most misquoted because it's one of the most misunderstood scriptures in the full word of Bible. Sadly, it's always used, or most often used, when someone goes under the be of the Lord. When someone goes under the be of the Lord, usually someone will put this scripture gets mentioned. Shall we read it? It's written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And that's always used as heaven, isn't it? And it makes sense. Because I haven't seen heaven. I don't know how good it's going to be. I'm sure it's wonderful. It's probably more great than we could ever imagine it to be. And God's got it prepared for us. Jesus has got to prepare a place for you. But let's look in context. Has heaven been mentioned in the scriptures last week or this week? It hasn't, has it? This has got nothing to do with talking about heaven. It's talking about wisdom. This scripture is about wisdom. It's talking about our lives now. It's talking about your life now as a Christian. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the mind of man. What God has for you. What God has for me. He's talking about now. Oh, heaven's part of our salvation. We're heaven bound. But right now, we are here, and so is the scripture for us. No eye has seen. Can't see the wisdom of God. You can't see the wisdom of God. You can't read the wisdom of God. You read God's word. You can't read the wisdom of God. No ear is heard. It can't be heard. It can't be taught. It don't come by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. The wisdom of God, mate. Entering into the heart of man. It can't be imagined or worked out. I know some very clever people. I'm not much cleverer than myself. Which is probably everyone else but me. You can't work it out yourself. You can't work out the wisdom of God. You can't think of it in your mind. No matter how great of mind you are, how clever you think you are, you can't work out the wisdom of God. Verse 10 is the answer. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. It's not talking about heaven. See, He's talking about now. If it's talking about heaven, you'll say, but when you get to heaven, you'll know. The wisdom of God is for now. God reveals it through His Spirit. When you're born again, when you dwell with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God then ministers to you. The Spirit of God then gives us what we need. It's given by Him. He gives wisdom to those. He wants to give wisdom to when they need it. The wisdom of God. By the Spirit of God. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes. The deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. The Bible talks about the Spirit of God even searches God and reveals it to us. You can't learn that. How can you learn God? How can you fathom God? How can you work out God? But the Bible says the Spirit reveals it to us. The Spirit reveals who He is. As I said, this isn't to teach against gaining knowledge and reading the Bible. Study. Please study. Learn God's word. Learn it inside out. Live in this book. You're never going to learn this inside out. In fact, the more you learn, the more you know you don't know, the more you need to know. I listened to a preacher years ago, and he said, what would you rather have? more money than you could ever spend, or barely enough money to get for the day. Anyone in their right mind would say, I'd rather have more money than I could ever spend. That's exactly what you've got in God's word. You never get to the bottom of it. You can never exhaust God's word. It's true, it's living, it's breathing, it's active. Theonotos, 1 Timothy 3:16. It's God's word, God's breath to us. You never get to the bottom of this. We'll never get to the bottom of this book. Know it, live it. I'm not preaching against that. But the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God comes from those who have the Spirit of God. I don't know the situations you're going to be in. I don't know. There's going to be situations in your life where you're going to need the wisdom of God. And that's when you, sadly, you're going to be put in a situation when anything your mother, your father, your granny, your grandfather, or your breed, or anyone around you talk to you, ain't going to do you no good. Because you're going to have to rely on Him. Amen. You'll be put in situations, whatever am I doing here? About 9 years ago, 8 years ago now, I went to Moldova with Nino. I don't know a lot now. I can hold a bit of a conversation in Romanesque, a little bit. I can have a conversation, a preach a message in Romanesque, but I don't know. I can't say I can speak fluent. But I knew nothing then. I knew zero. Dick I, Dordy Kaka, ain't Romanesque. Whatever am I doing? Anyway, end up going with it. End up going with it. We're in a town, right? And everyone, the people in the shops, the gatherers, everyone speaks it. Right, yeah. He said, go on, go and witness to the people. So what do you mean? He said, go and tell the people. He said, well, you haven't come on holiday. He said, yeah, folks, we're coming. You made me come. He said, go and tell the people about the Lord. I'm not just saying to glorify, because I didn't know nothing. Whatever am I going to do? How's these people going to say about me? Be like, I'm a lob. I'm crying. I can't even say nothing. And people are getting saved. How does that work? I can't tell you how that works. All I know to do is kiss and cuddle them and eat their food. And people's giving their lives to Christ. God does it. Sometimes you get in a situation in your life, you don't know whatever do I do with these people? That happened to you. You'll be in a situation where everything you think you know, or however clever you think you are, it's not going to cut no ice. You're going to rely on God. When you serve God, sometimes you get put in deep waters, you do. When you serve God, sometimes you mean getting out of your comfort zone or being in situations you definitely do not want to be in. When you live for Him, when you try and serve Him, you don't have to rely on Him. And you know what? I pray these things happen to you soon. I hope it ain't a tragedy or an emergency. But I pray to God that you can access this. Perhaps just some of you have. Perhaps a lot of you have. Perhaps all you have. But I pray to God, this is one of my prayers for you, is that in these coming weeks, months, you're in a situation where you don't know what to say or do, even for a long time. As long as it ain't going to put you in no jeopardy, I pray to God you're going to be in those situations. So you can see the power of God move. I've got to share this before I get a little bit. This isn't to say you don't need the Word of God. We do need the Word of God. It says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Peter always uses this one when it comes to doing something a bit mad. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. I've heard people say that, but that's a bit mad, that is what they're doing. Don't quench the Spirit of God, brother. Oh, okay, I'm putting out the Spirit of God on one because I think that someone's doing the same thing. Don't quench the Spirit. They don't like reading the next two verses. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. How do we test all things? God's telling me to do this. Does it match up with this? We can't use these things that, you know, oh, this ain't been revealed to me by man, it's only revealed to me by God. I'm going to go and do something absolutely mental. You can't do that. People do that all the time. I'm not picking on people. People do that all the time. Oh, the Spirit of God just made me do it. The Spirit of God is God Almighty. The same thing as God the Father, same as Jesus Christ. You know, the Holy Spirit is God Almighty. And God won't go against His Word. God's not going to do nothing to corrupt His word. Or God told me to go and rob a bank. God told me to punch someone in the face. God ain't going to tell him to do them things, is he? What would we do? We test all things. We filter it through his word. I know you know that anyway. But I'll just have to cover me back. So in the coming weeks, I'm like, well, you know, you can't learn it. God taught me how to do it. I remember I preached it, finished a Sunday morning meeting. And I only meant to make it as a laugh, obviously. I said, look, Sunday, you bump into people, spend the day with them. If they're unsafe, spend the day with them. Tie them up, put them in the boot of your car, bring them to church. And I know a couple of people's looking at you and I say, yeah, you know what? I will. You just sort of cover your back. Now, don't tie people up, put them in the boot of your car. Don't do it. So this isn't telling us to do something that's mental. God might tell us to do things that go completely against the way we're brought up and the way of thinking. Of course he will. In fact, that's the Christian life, isn't it? What did Jesus say? Whoever will come after me, let him first what? Deny himself. Before you take up the cross, before the suffering, if you like, before the shame, you must first deny yourself. Everything you've been brought up to believe, everywhere we've been brought up to carry on and be, we've got to deny that. Then we take up the cross. And then we follow him. And then, Dave, when you see someone carrying a cross, you know what's happening to them? They're going to die. It's to death. You deny yourself, you take up your cross, so you go on to be with him. That's the Christian life. One thing he is telling us, he's not giving us excuses for doing things, weird things. What is he telling us? He's instructing us not to rely on our own abilities and understanding. It's telling us not to rely on our own abilities and understanding. That's the first part of getting saved, isn't it? It's to realise that I am wrong and God is right. That's a hard thing to think, isn't it? So I don't know about you, I've never been wrong in my life. Have you? But I refuse to be wrong. Even when I knew I was wrong and everyone else knew I was wrong, I'd refuse to be wrong. And if you can't prove the fact that you're not wrong, just start shouting and that might help. We don't like being wrong, do we? The first thing is, I haven't done it, it's everyone else. That's the first thing part of getting saved. I'm wrong and you're right. I'm a sinner and you're a savior. Lay down a reliance on ourselves and realise that we need him and we're nothing without him. I know some of this is brothers and sisters, this is lovely brothers and sisters. I know you're lucky, you're probably better Christians than I could ever hope to be. And I learn a lot from you, brothers and sisters, I do. But you're nothing without Jesus. Amen. Nothing without him. I am nothing without him, I am nothing without him. What I do, what you do, must all be of him, from him. And you know what that means? It gives the glory for everything. The lives we live is for his glory, isn't it? Surely. We live to bring him glory. He lived to die upon the cross for us. Bleed, die, and rise again. Well, now we live to bring him glory, bring people to him. And you have the saying, if you've got no room for God or the things of God, it's pretty much you're full of yourself. It's true. There's only one throne. We're not on it. It's him. Jump back. Verse 9 is definitely not talking about heaven. He's talking, but one thing he is talking about, there's no limit to what God can do through you, for the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no limit to what he's doing. I don't know what he's going to do. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. I don't know about you. If we get people to share testimonies about things that they've witnessed God do, I don't have no comprehension in things. When I got saved, I didn't know after things God would use me to do. It's only for him. I had no intention to do it. I had no desire to do certain things for God. For God, but it's all part of his life. It's all part of his plan. I think the last 50 messages, 60 messages I've preached, I've mentioned this scripture. It's been one of my favourite scriptures in the Bible. It's in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. It says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works, that God had prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The The Bible talks about it. God has got things for you, things for me. Remember, John's mentioned it. That word is poema, God's poem. We're God's poem. God sat there. I've got my notes here. I like to sit down and write them out in the way that it'd be presentable. The Bible says, we are his handiwork. We're his love letter. We're his poem. He's writing it with your life. He's writing it with my life. And it says he had him prepared before he created heavens and the earth. Before he knew he was going to bleed and die for it. I'm going to create the heavens and the earth. I'm going to have to become a man and die for my creation. And you know, when I die for my creation, I'm then going to set aside good works for my creation to do. And once they're saved, they can then do them. That's mind blowing. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God wants to do for me. And what God will use you for. I don't know God's plan. Sometimes I doubt God's plan for my own life. I'm trying to work it out myself what God wants me to do. But I know this. He's got things for you to do. God ain't just saved you to come to church 5 times a week. Come to church 10 times a week, do so. But he's then called us to go, once we come out of doors, we need to go out and make an effect on the world in which we live. That's why we're here. I was in Amherst with him. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, I think it's verse 5 or 6, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, anyone wants wisdom, then ask God. He gives to all liberally, he says. If you need the wisdom of God, you want the wisdom of God, ask him. But you know what you need to be doing? You need to be in a position where you need it. You need to be in a position where you need it. God's wisdom ain't just for sitting in the chair. God's wisdom is being used to reach a lost and dying world. I want to win people for the Lord, don't you? Do you want to win people for Christ? When I get to heaven, I want to see other people there. I've led to the Lord, don't you? It's not for my glory, for his glory. But I want to say, Lord, I live for you. I try my best for you. I try to lead people to you. I try to tell people about you. I know I've done it wrong. I know I've got everything wrong every single day. And I know most of your life you keep looking at me doing that until I come home to be with you. But I try my best to serve you. I want to be that Christian, don't you? I want to be that Christian who brings you glory and brings people to him. To do that, you need his wisdom. Let's pray for that tonight. There's more on this. There's more verses. I'll probably mess it up for whoever does next week. I'm not going to go no further. I don't want to ramble. Let's pray for this. Let's pray for this tonight, church. Blessed be your name, God. God, God of wisdom. God of comfort. We need your mind, we need your heart, Lord. We need your wisdom. All we've been taught, every rock to be, it's not going to make no difference to anyone. We need you. For our families, for our loved ones, the ones who don't know you, for the lost, for those who are heartbroken, those who are struggling, we need your wisdom. We've got to pray, God, you give me all your wisdom, my God. Lift yourself and me from me. And be filled with the things of you. Pray this for each of your brothers and your sisters, and I pray that you'll put them in a position, Lord my God, where they're fully reliant upon you, because nothing of their own efforts will do. And Lord God, that you'll bless them forever. I pray this, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother?